All right, Who's Talking is back. This is Frank Hobbo to my far right, and Terrence Gates sitting in between us. And, you know, interesting thing, Terry, the Wahoos of this recent vintage have had a lot of success in the ACC with two ACC regular season titles, one ACC tournament championship, some appearances in the NCAAs, maybe haven't gone as far as Wahoos would like to see them. What does this team have to do to turn this muck around right now and make a run? Because they've got the veterans, they've got the talent, but something's not right. So give it to us straight.
Well, you know, I think it goes back to a pecking order. I mean, it just, you know, some of these guys, the new guys, Darius Thompson, you know, where's he supposed to, you know, what's he supposed to be doing? Is he a point guard? Is he a wing guard? He shoots free throws very well, though he's a capable 3-point shooter. He doesn't take many. Mm-hmm. Where does he fit in when he's playing with the two big guys, Barrantes and Brogdon? Like I said, Gil works very hard, but he is going to have some 6'9", 6'10", 6'11" kids on him down a stretch where they're going to make his life miserable. For him to score 15 points is going to be a great game, but he's doing it on finesse. He's not dunking over people. He dunks on people. He doesn't dunk on people. He dunks in an open.
Around them.
No, he's open. Someone else has helped out. A great pass. He dunks, but he's not. The other players are not in his vicinity.
And I think the one thing about Anthony Gill, not always, but sometimes his moves are more deliberate.
Right.
And I think the offside big guy from the other team, they're coming over to help out. So that's where I think Toby could be helpful if you had another big in the Virginia lineup where you could actually see Gil maybe dish to the other big guy and Toby be close to the basket. So, it's got to be frustrating. I think Darius Thompson at the beginning of the year when he started alongside with Perantes and Brogdon, I think the concept was that Thompson would handle more of the ball handling responsibilities with the expectation that Perantes would play the off guard periodically and be more of a scorer. But that didn't seem to work very well because I think London's natural tendency is to want to run the offense.
Yeah, and you know, so everyone's got to figure out, they have to do the small things, they have to be efficient. They're not when they do get good shots, they don't finish. I'm not saying those are easy shots when you're 6'8", or if you're Wilkins and you're 6'7", there's a 6'10 guy coming across the middle. Those aren't easy baskets. People think because you're 6'7", you should score. Well, that's not the easiest thing in this day and age where everyone is excellent athletes that play the game. I mean, and we think this stretch is bad. Look, we were talking about during the break, look who they're playing. The next away game is Wake Forest, okay? Then you've got some. You want to read those down?
At Louisville, yeah. At Pitt, at Duke, at Miami, at Clemson.
That's called heartburn. That'll keep you up at night.
Well, you know, the thing is,
and Frank, what did you say about Louisville? Go ahead. Come on, Frank.
I'm not going to say
no,
it
No, go
again.
Ahead.
He said they were up and down.
Up and down. Okay, you're going to go to Louisville on the January 30th, and it's not going to be a half-full castle. It's not going to be a half-full Alexander. It's not going to be a half-full or a third-full FSU. There's going to be 21,000 people wearing white or red or black in that arena. And it didn't go so well last year when they had a really good team. So,
well, realistically, the problem we have is three road games that probably looked winnable a couple of weeks ago were Georgia Tech, Virginia Tech, and Florida State. We've lost all three of them.
Well, certainly the first two.
Yeah.
Florida State has always given Virginia a hard time.
Particularly in Tallahassee. Yeah.
Well, Tech just looked like they had more. And it's the nature of the beast. I think Malcolm needs to be a little more demonstrative. I think London is the same thing. That's not their style. They had Justin last year, but now I think they need some, and with Anthony Gill, they need some fifth-year leadership and get some sparks.
Well, the conversation a couple of years ago after the Tennessee game was that Joe Harris went out to Coach Bennett's house and sort of took the leadership role, and I think Brogdon, Toby, Nolte, Gill, the seniors, they need to step up. I mean, this is their team. This is their year. They got to produce.
And I don't think there's arguing that. Quick teaser here. We're going to have VAF Executive Director Dirk Katzter with us in the next half hour, at the bottom of the hour break. So he's just moments away. And also, Dirk played for the Cavaliers before he got into fundraising for the Virginia Athletics Foundation. And I'm sure he's going to have some opinions on this team as well. Terry, going back to looking at the team itself, You know, the ACC, with the exception of Carolina, is a little topsy-turvy this year. I mean, nobody at this point would have thought Duke would have two losses. And, you know, Duke had this guy, Kennard, go off for 30, and they still lost to Notre Dame. And looking at the games coming up, it's interesting. Syracuse is at Duke later tonight. Clemson is at UVA tomorrow night. NC State is at Pitt. Wednesday night, Wake is at UNC. VPI is at Notre Dame. Florida State is at Louisville. And Miami is at Boston College. So it's a pretty tumultuous couple of days ahead in the conference. And, you know, it makes for great fandom. I mean, if you're a fan of basketball.
A lot of competitive games, although on your list there, I think Clemson at Virginia and Florida State at Louisville are the two that stick out to me as really competitive games.
Well, you know, VPI hasn't played but one road game. They're getting ready to go to Notre Dame.
They're not going to beat Notre Dame. Notre Dame's a good basketball. I think the poor Hokies are about to go on an extended losing streak, but that's just my prediction.
Well, you know, they deserve to win a game in Blacksburg.
They played with more energy and more passion.
Yep.
And you know what? Good for them. But let's face it, Virginia wasn't playing anything close to the way they played against Notre Dame. That was a Cuisinart game. Virginia moved the ball so beautifully during that game, and then all of a sudden they lost it.
Right, and that's one of the things that you good point there, where the ball movement that game, they have not matched that in these three road losses. There's just dribbling, these one-handed passes that you know, if you're a guard and you're overplaying somebody, you love to see another guard you dribble and come off the dribble with a one-hand pass, so you know as soon as he doesn't dribble, that arm goes forward, not down. You're shooting the gap, and have, you know, there was two or three of those last night that just, you know.
Just one careless turnover where, you know, London tried to throw the ball to Brogdon and turned it over, and Florida State's on a fast break the other way. Just mistakes that you're not used to seeing Virginia teams make.
One thing's for certain, in the last two road games against Georgia Tech and Florida State, Virginia got out-rebounded. Against Georgia Tech, it was a pretty significant margin. 29-41, and then against Florida State, 25-31. Well, and Tony Bennett, I promise you, has been running drills.
Man, the thing that bothers me is
blocking out.
Some of those 50-50 balls, we're not getting them.
Not even close.
Yeah,
not even close.
The Florida State game, we had six offensive rebounds. They have five. We had 34 missed shots. They had 22.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there's more opportunities for them to get defensive rebounds. So I think the rebounding number doesn't bother me so much. You got to look at how many shots we miss. We missed 34. They got 31 rebounds. So we got some offensive rebounds.
Got a few.
It's making shots. I think the whole problem is it's more offensive than it is defense. I mean, you've got.
I agree. I think it spills over. I think Virginia is still ranked 11th in the nation in scoring defense.
See, you guys are fine. I knew you'd come around to my. You know, all this X and O stuff, but eventually it comes down to making shots.
Well, look, North Carolina. If you've watched North Carolina this year.
Well, they're just so gifted offensively.
But their whole attack or philosophy is we're just going to outscore you. We don't care if you score. If you watch a Carolina
game. Who on the North Carolina team are you not going to guard? They got five studs out there on the offensive end.
I mean, sometimes, to me, basketball's coming down to who gets the best shots?
Right.
The most makeable shots. Now, just because I'm open from 15 feet and you're open from 15 feet, you got to look at who's shooting these shots. And when Gil gets the ball down low and he's got a 6'10 or 11 kid on him, I'm not so sure that's the best shot they have.
His shooting percentage is over 60%.
Well, he works very hard. He passes the ball out a lot, too.
Yes.
I mean, he has to work very hard for that. He's got good hands. He's got quick moves. He's 23 years old, 22, 23, so he's using his brain.
Yep.
But, you know, if you said on the next level, can he do that in the NBA? No.
Don't think so.
No.
All right. With that, we're going to jump to break.
Too many predators in the NBA.
Yeah, we're going to jump to break. On the other side, we've got the VAF's Dirk Kuemper joining us. Stay with us. This is Who's Talking.